You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
Do you think the Mona Lisa would be worth as much as it is if it was entitled Woman with Gas?
No. I want to say that right now.
It does look like she's got like intestinal issues right there. Like she's holding back a boat.
I can't honestly picture a woman holding back gas.
Why? You don't
it
think
happens all the time.
No, it happens
probably,
all the time.
Probably more often than men.
But it's not the way I want to look. It's not what I'm thinking when I see that picture.
What do you think?
What's on her mind? What's going through her mind
I think
that
what's
point?
Going through her mind is how do I hold this
really?
Bird
well,
back?
That's kind of base for you, isn't it?
You know
and besides, what is woman holding gas in French? Because maybe it sounds a lot more beautiful.
Woman holding gas.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. So the best thing that happened today was Joe Torre coming out.
I loved it.
And taking out Carlos Rodon. Who, by the way, if you look at Carlos Rodon's spring training numbers,
yeah,
not too bad.
Last couple of starts were really good today, and then the one last Wednesday
today,
was
outstanding. Today, 5 2/3 hitless innings against the Phillies. And I think he's going to – I said right at the beginning, I thought he's one of the big variables. He, Nestor Cortez, opening day starter, those are big variables. And if he can give you a season like he had with the Giants, or if he had the year before with the White Sox, Yankees are in really good shape where they just hold the fort until Gerrit Cole gets back maybe in June. Because all things considered, the fact that they don't have to cut into Gerrit Cole's arm, at least now, that's a good thing. If they could get him for 3.5 months of the season, rather than dreaming at one point of I'm not having him at all, that's pretty good. And the fact that Joe Torre, who's in camp by invite of Aaron Boone, came out with that very distinctive walk where he looks like he's walking into the wind, kind of a swagger. He takes his first time that Carlos Rodon had ever met him. How cool is that?
On the hill?
On the hill.
Wow.
First time he ever met him, took the ball, and then he was talking to the infielders. You see Anthony Volpe, who was 5 years old when Joe last met as the Yankees, had this big broad grin on his face. That's the best thing that happened today, I think.
Very. Well, if you're a Yankee fan, it's a big deal for sure because it's nostalgic.
It's nice.
I saw some Met fans on Twitter or X go, even as a Met fan, that's really cool to see.
If you're a certain age as a Met fan, he played for the Mets. He managed the Mets. They weren't any good, but
I don't think it matters. Can I be honest? I don't think it matters what your fan base is.
Here's the thing.
It's a cool moment.
Here's growing up a Met fan and not liking the Yankees. I still knew the Yankees up and down. I still watched the Yankees when the Mets didn't play. I mean, if you're a baseball fan and it's every day, and now that they play each other every season, how do you like not know the other manager in town and what's going on? And then, of course, they own the postseason for half a decade. So you're going to have an opinion on Joe Torre. Now, I thought he did a great job when he played and when he managed. He just didn't have a very good team. I always liked Joe Torre. I did. Now, I didn't like the Yankees, but, I mean, now that you fast forward, it's been 17 years since he managed for the Yankees. How do you not have some positive nostalgia about just Joe Torre involved in New York baseball?
Some breaking news on the football front. According to ESPN, former 49ers and Commanders defensive end Chase Young intends to sign with the Saints. A source tells Jeremy Fowler. Listen, he was one of the guys still waiting, but mighty have fallen.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, he's still got a lot of room to show people what he's capable of, but obviously he was hindered by injuries in Washington, goes to San Francisco and was pretty good, but obviously wasn't super special on a team that's already stacked, but got to go, you know, play in a Super Bowl, get incredible experience, and now go get a little bag and see what he can do in New Orleans. But yeah, I think ultimately Washington made the right move there. Though that's not the one that hurt as much. It was the Montez Sweat one that like stings.
Yeah.
That's a guy who goes and then is instantly impactful on the Bears. Do you know he led the Bears and Commanders in sacks last year?
I think it's the first time ever.
First time ever done.
Pretty amazing.
that's an unbelievable
have that kind
player.
Of an impact on two teams in one season.
Now, the big story coming into today was St. John's and Seton Hall not getting into the Big East getting into the NCAA tournament as at-large bids. When they beat Seton Hall, all the bracketologists pretty much said St. John's is getting in. Not only did they not get in, they weren't the final four that missed. They were in the final eight that missed, or the first four, whichever the verbiage is. They were not even in the first four left out. So teams 69, 70, 71, 72. They were 73, 74, 75, 76. Seton Hall was in the first four. So the two losses that St. John's had to Seton Hall in the regular season obviously superseded the 19-point win that St. John's had against Seton Hall in the Big East tournament. And the fact that St. John's lost to arguably the best team in college basketball, the Huskies of UConn, by just 5 points, 95-90, in the Big East, that didn't mean anything. The fact that they were on that losing streak, where I think they lost 6 of 8, and they blew a big lead against Seton Hall and lost that game, that's the game that Patino came out and said, I'm done. I'm not done. My players, they simply, and then they spun around and they won 6 in a row. That 2-6 stretch, Don, cost them, and it cost the Big East. The fact that the Big East has two dreadful teams in DePaul and Georgetown lessened the value of the conference, which I think is wrong. Which is the Big East is either the second or third best basketball conference in the country, and they only have three teams going. When Hurley said it should be six.
Well, it's all how you want to look at it. Yes, they had DePaul and Georgetown, who were god-awful, especially DePaul.
Right.
And that dragged the conference down. But what about as your regular season comes to an end, and you finish up with your conference tournaments and get ready for the dance, that not only does the Big East have the best team in basketball in UConn in it, they also have Marquette, who finished 8, mm-hmm. and Creighton, who finished 11.
Right.
So they had three of the top 11 teams in the country. So why can't you look at that? Why are you harping on Georgetown and DePaul being god-awful? And why not look at the fact that the only three teams that got into the Big East were almost all three top 10 teams? I think Creighton fell out of the top 10 on the last week. So why are they harping on the bottom feeder of the Big East and not looking at how good it is? Is it that top heavy? I mean, Seton Hall is the number one seed in the NIT, so they were in they were right down to the wire. So was St. John's with their 6-game winning streak to close out the season. So why just three teams?
And it's weird too, because the committee seems like it changes what it amplifies each year. So NET is supposedly so important. I think St. John's had a 28.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, the lowest a team had an NIT of without getting in was 32. So St. John's was 28, and Larry Blurd, Indiana State, they were 25. They didn't get in either, and they had a much better record than St. John's, but they don't play in as good of a conference. So all the upsets in the conference tournaments, it hurt all the teams on the bubble. New Mexico, NC State shocking North Carolina. All of those things shocked everybody and kind of threw the at-large bids up in the air.
How much do you think Seton Hall and St. John's kind of hurt themselves based on how they played like during the year? Right,
with
Seton Hall winning the two, and then St.
It looks
John's,
like if Seton Hall had beaten St. John's in the
they would
have
been in.
They would have been in.
So I wonder if they kind of devoured themselves, like hurt themselves, where you could have taken one of them, they end up taking neither of them because of how it ended up going in the regular season and what happened in the Big East over the weekend. Listen, we could sit here all day and break it down. There's always going to be disappointed teams. I'm curious. Why not go to the NIT? I know it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing to be proud of.
But it is
extra basketball. Seton Hall's going to do it. St. John's isn't. St. John's says it because, you know, the transfer portal starts today, and they don't want it to eat into what is a very, very important offseason for St. John's. But it's just as important for Seton Hall. So is Seton Hall making a mistake playing? Or is St. John's making a mistake by not playing? I mean, Patino wants to coach. He's missing an opportunity to coach maybe a few more games. I'm sure there's some players that would like to play a few more games. They're all hoping to make it to the dance. All right, it's not that, but it's still postseason basketball. It's more basketball.
But to Michael's point, if you have to get really active in the portal, And that's more important to your future than playing the basketball.
So Seton Hall doesn't care about their future?
Well, no, I mean,
you, who was it that we had on earlier in the show that said you've got a staff of like 100 people that can handle that? I mean, you're telling me you can't play basketball and also work on the transfer portal at the same time?
But
you don't think an impression can be made? Those players are on national television.
If you have any players, though, Michael, who have hopes of playing in the future.
Right.
Even if that's just Europe. But they have hopes of making
money.
They don't
want to get hurt.
Why do they want to play in the NIT? Yeah.
Now,
for zero glory?
Hey, maybe
Tom, what's it worth?
So listen, I'm arguing to a fault here. For all I know is Seton Hall took a vote. Their players wanted to play, then let them play. If St. John's took a vote, they didn't want to play, then don't play. But I can't imagine it was unanimous. So there might be some players on St. John's that are disappointed today.
Sure, there may be. But there may be a couple players who are like, I don't feel like risking anything for this tournament that no one cares about.
Now, I have a little surprise, because they said the best thing that happened today was Joe Torre walking out to the mound. So I took it upon myself, texted Joe, and he's coming on right now. He joins us this
right
second.
Right now?
Right this second. Joe, Michael, Don, and Peter, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. I survived.
Well, I didn't say that. You look great. I mean, honestly, it was a flashback, but looks like you could still do this.
I'll tell you, Booney was great. He says, I'm not going to ask you to carry that pitch comm out there. I said, well, I can pretend it's a map so I can find my way to the mound. Go ahead.
So sorry about that. What did you say after you took the ball from Rodon? You were sitting there talking to the infield, and what did you say to those guys?
I just told him, every time I went to the mound, it always reminded me of Andy Pettit, who used to burn a hole through me when I'd come out to the mound to take him out. And then he, on the way home, he would stop in my office and apologize for showing me that.
I got to tell you this, Joe. I'm watching this unfold, right? I get emotional now at the opening of like a Stop and Shop. And I kind of got choked up because, you know, it takes you back all those years when you would walk to the mound. So I'm wondering, was there any emotion for you?
There was. You know, the other day, Booney asked me, he said, do you want to, you know, change pitchers? And my knee-jerk reaction was no. I just, it's not my place, it's your place. And, you know, today when he asked me again, I got to think about it. I said it would be cool to do that because I'm leaving, going back to New York tomorrow. And, it worked out really well. And Rodon pitched so well, you know, so it was a lot of fun going out there.
What'd you say to Rodon?
Emotional, yes. Oh, I was just kidding with him because when I was shaking his hands before the game, when he comes in from warming up, you know, I was in the process of putting sunscreen on, and I went to slap his hand and, you know, got the sunscreen. So I just told him, that's all you need to do then. When you go out there, you have to have sunscreen on your hand.
Wow.
even though you'd get suspended for it.
Joe, usually we add...
I was happy for him because he pitched so well.
Really did.
You know, we usually ask somebody in your situation, like, what do you miss about managing? But when you look at what's happening with the Yankees now, no Cole, what's going on with Judge, you find out is an injury to DJ, would you file these under things you don't miss about being manager of the Yankees?
No, that was always a challenge. You remember my first spring, we lost David Cohn, and I remember Zimmerman, because he wasn't throwing really well, and Zim said, if we have to worry about Cohn, you know, we're in bad shape and all that. And then all of a sudden, Doc Gooden stepped up. But that's always a challenge. But what you do miss, you miss the people. You miss the players. And that's the thing that was nostalgic for me here, because the players couldn't be nicer. The first day I was here, just a number of them came in the coach's room and wanted to say hello and introduce themselves. So, it was a great experience. Booney had called me about 3 weeks ago when I was traveling with the MLB group to do the meetings in Arizona. And when I saw Booney was calling, I said he probably butt-dialed me. And then I picked up and I answered the phone. And he says, how about, come and see us? And and then put on the uniform. I said, well, I plan on coming to Florida to see you guys, but I don't know about putting on the uniform. And when I got in the coach's room the other day, and there's, you know, Willie Randolph and Ron Guidry, and I said, oh, what the heck, you know, and it was very comfortable. I'm happy to report.
Well, I think it was comfortable for all of us to see as well, a wonderful moment. What's Boone like as a manager versus a player? And did you think in 2003, did he get anything from him that said this guy would be a great leader of men one day?
Well, to me, he's got a bloodline. I mean, you know, the family have all been in the major leagues, you know, his grandfather, you know, and his dad. And to me, that was never an issue, whether he was comfortable doing it. Of course, going to New York and then all of a sudden managing for the first time is certainly not an easy task. But he seemed very relaxed. He has a good bench coach. And Brad Ausmus, I had Ausmus when I was managing the Dodgers. However, you know, with all the numbers and analytics and everything they're talking about, I think I was born at the right time and managed at the right time. That's all I could say.
I have an analytic number. Does it seem like 17 years the last time you managed the Yankees?
No, it's unbelievable. But, Michael, I want to tell you, you're not even close to where I am right now. When it gets to a certain number, it's like the calendar turns every 10 minutes. But it doesn't. I mean, the Yankees changed my life professionally and, you know, certainly put me in a place that I never dreamed I'd be. And I just could never be more appreciative.
Are you cool with the way the game is now analytically? Is it too much or just right for you?
Well, I you know what? Information is important. There's no getting around that, you know. But I just don't want managers to give up the instincts that they have accrued over the number of years in the game. And, you know, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, baseball, I know things aren't supposed to happen, but baseball's full of things that aren't supposed to happen that change the course of a team or a game. And the human element is still so important to me, and that's the only thing I object to, is if there's just too much attention paid to the numbers and you forget about the instincts that, you know, in my opinion, that you should be using on a regular basis.
Joe, I promised you a couple of minutes. Thank you so, so much. And in a world where there's not a lot of stuff to smile about, today I smile because I thought that was so neat. So I hope you enjoyed it as well, because I know baseball fans, I'm looking on social media, they just think it's the coolest thing that happened today. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, it was great. And as I said, I was unsure when I came here, but I'm certainly happy I did.
We are too. Thank you, Joe.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Joe Torre. Kind of neat. Really, really.
Good work, Michael.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, if you're watching, yes, they just rolled it in because the game was on, yes. But go to social media because it's still that number six, you know, walking slowly out to the mound. And it was neat. It was really neat. There's no other way to describe it.
Listen, he was a part of Yankee fans' lives for a long, long time and a lot of winning, a lot of big games.
He still sounds so great. Although, yeah. I'm not going to lie, that one line was haunting.
Which was what?
And he said, at this age, the calendar turns every 10 minutes.
Oh, I mean, I'm 63 and I feel like that. He's 84. He's going to be 84. So, yeah, it turns quick.
It is the cruelest of things.
Oh, yeah. It's one thing we haven't figured out.
Well, there's no way to figure it out.
Right.
You can't, because it's all perspective and you can't change the perspective.
But put it this way, Michael, because he said you're not going through this right now. You think you are, but, you know, go back 22 years ago, he's managing the Yankees in 2002.
Right.
Just coming off a World Series loss, still a perennial player. There was a lot going on there. You're in good shape at 62.
Molly Walker covers the Rangers for the Post.
Sure she does.
Saying that word is Ryan Lindgren will be out a few weeks. Wasn't as bad as initially feared. A full recovery is expected. Rangers had a great week. I mean, they played a lot of games in a short amount of time. They won most of them.
Four.
A devastating loss for the Islanders yesterday, who need to win games. Now they've lost three in a row. But Lindgren did get hurt yesterday, so this is good news, right?
Oh, it's huge news. And, well, the Islanders, I think it's four straight
four,
games.
That's right.
Because they lost to the Kings on the West Coast, and they came back, lost to the Sabres. They did come back and tie the game against Ottawa, but just earned a point losing in overtime, and then lost yesterday. But Lindgren being out, Michael, it's killer for the rest of the regular season, but they have the depth. That's why you go out and get a Chad Ruedel. You see that injury and you're thinking, oh my God, is he going to play again? Few weeks tells me, I guess, that's pretty much done for maybe the rest of the regular season, right? I think their last game is the 15th of April. We're at the 18th, so I guess he might be able to come back for the last couple of games, but I guess that's good news.
So how do they replace him now, Ruedel?
Well, Ruedel is there. Zach Jones, they called up Scanlon from the AHL. I just think that from a depth standpoint. But then they get Trouba back, which is going to be in probably about 10 days. So they'll get Trouba back before Lindgren. Hey, the Rangers are only a point back of the President's Trophy. I mean, they're that close.
It's amazing
they've
done since the All-Star break.
To go 4-1... Listen, baseball players will say, hold my beer. But in hockey, to play five games in a seven-day span...
That's a lot.
And include the travel is a lot. And to play a lot of divisional games and a lot of really good teams like Carolina, and to be able to win four out of five to get eight of a possible 10 points, basically was just... They were a period and a half away from sweeping the five.
Yep.
Because they had a 2-0 lead against the Tampa Bay Lightning back on Thursday before they lost that in the third period. That was a really nice win on Sunday. They were on fumes, Michael. Both teams played the day before, but the Rangers were in Pittsburgh for a 3 o'clock start. Islanders were home for a 12:30 start when they lost to Ottawa. And for the Rangers to dominate the way that they did, that was a great win for the Rangers. It's a bad loss for the Islanders.
Where are they now in terms of what they have to do? I mean, have they given up control of their destiny?
No, because they still have the game in hand on Detroit, and Detroit just finished up, you know, losing seven in a row. So it's going to be a battle down the stretch. But as of right now, when you take a look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, the Islanders are on the outside looking in with 73 points. Washington has 73 points. Just a point back of Detroit, but the Islanders have a game in hand. Capitals have two games in hand. So the Islanders are still in good shape, but they squandered the six-game winning streak.
Yep.
Had a six-game winning streak, and now you just get 1 point over the next four. You're kind of giving it back. So, and Patrick Roy was beside himself after the Ottawa loss, not happy with what happened against the Rangers. So they've got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a mad scramble for this final playoff position.
All right, we're going to have Danny Hurley coming on.
Let's go to UConn.
Yay!
Yep, in about 8 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Looking forward to talking with him. His team is the number one ranked team out of 68, and they will play Stetson in the first round. So, Danny, I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about the Big East getting just three teams into the tournament, but his team is in, and they won the Big East. Hey, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has done it again, winning their third consecutive Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award in recognition of a very successful celebration last weekend. They will be extending special offers on select models as well as prizes with the purchase of a new vehicle until March 23rd when you RSVP. Visit their showroom in White Plains or explore online at mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to let you guys know, as we wait on Danny Hurley, I hope you've enjoyed the Pusick. I've paid off my bet, and it has to come off Wednesday afternoon.
Well, that's not our agreement.
Well, I'm sorry.
My agreement was Friday.
Yeah, what happened? Hold on. You said
Thursday. Well, he had given me Thursday when you were out.
Yeah, because...
Well, what right is that?
Well, the question was, what did you have Friday?
I have a game.
He has a game Friday, so he said basically it would be a full week. He did it last Thursday, and it would go through
But he would be on the show with the Pusick on Thursday
yeah.
And then shave it after the show.
Right. But now something has come up.
So your last day on the show. See, that's 2 days short. You got to give a little something.
But I'm going to tell you what, though, Donnie. At no point when we made this bet did we ever have a time frame on how long.
Yeah, but it's kind of understood.
No, it's not understood
until spring training.
But
your first game on the air. That was the understanding.
Can you at least admit one thing? I have at least somewhat paid off.
No.
The bet. Peter?
From a time standpoint, I don't believe so. Well, because first of all, you had a beard, which is not abusing.
Let me throw you this. How about if I diet tonight?
I was going to suggest you diet, and at least tomorrow, it's...
Is that okay for you, Peter?
Jet black, purple, yellow?
No, I'm not another talk show host.
Oh, I understand that.
I'm the color of my hair.
What is the color of your hair? Are we brown? No, but I thought to make it abusive, just for one day. Hear me out.
That's the color of
Anthony's.
But I don't know. I wouldn't know how to get black dye.
Well, you don't know how to get black dye?
I mean,
it's not black tar. I mean, you can go into a convenience store, or you can go into a Duane Reade and get hair dye. We're not asking for it to look perfect. As a matter of fact, the more embarrassing, the better.
Oh, that's interesting, Don. I like what you're saying. So if we're going to have one last day.
I do want you to know this is a yes thing, because I would have kept it right
no,
until...
No, I understand. I don't know what their problem is.
We have to tape a commercial tomorrow that's going to run all year.
You mean Wednesday?
All right. Wednesday.
So I like Don's idea. If you're getting out early,
right,
we dye this SOB tomorrow. I love it.
Why do I even have to dye? I could just put my wife's like mascara on it then.
If it works, if it makes it work,
whatever. So I don't want you to go through any kind of torture. I mean, it just...
That's what Don likes for himself.
No, that's reserved for me. It's my thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think you could, if you're cool with that...
If you feel I owe you 2 days, I've got to give you something more.
Well, you definitely owe us 2 days.
Yeah, so coming in tomorrow as Blackbeard would be interesting.
Now, can I ask about this commercial? They just don't want the inconsistency.
Yeah.
I think you're exaggerating Yes's policy on beards.
No. You know what? I got the feeling... That because when we had our seminar, I had a beard. I had the beard, which I had trimmed, not as lovely as yours, but it was trimmed. And the big boss said to me, "You know, that beard looks good as long as it stays trim." He never said, but you know, one of our big executives, Jared, just said to me, keeping that on for the year. So I thought that was a tacit. You better get rid of that.
I don't think he's got that kind of power.
He does.
Not to me. I've met the guy. He's a tremendous talent, but I think he's overstepping his bounds. If who you say, talking about, the guy, I think we're talking about the same person, above Jared, that liked it.
Yeah.
It's Flip, right?
Yeah. No, above Flip.
Really? Yeah. Well, then come on, above Jared. Flip. Come back to me. Wake up, Jared.
But I don't think anybody would want this monstrous.
I think you're making it work. I think you're exaggerating. I think this is another one. Honestly, I really don't believe this is one of those file under a punishment that kind of worked out for Mike.
It's been fine.
Let's bring in a guy who's just had an unbelievable couple of years.
Speaking of working out fine.
It's working out great for Danny Hurley. Just won the Big East tournament title.
Sure did.
The number one seed in the entire country.
Yeah.
Trying to become the first team to go back-to-back national championships since Florida. In the aughts, and he joins us now. Danny, congratulations. Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
Good, man. Hey, Mike, can you repeat it again? Like, what did we do in the last year again?
You won the national title. You won the Big East tournament title. Now you're going for two in a row. That's not bad.
Yeah. He just wanted to hear it from you.
Now, let me ask you this. The fact that you won last year, does it take pressure off this year?
Absolutely. It's taken pressure off the, really, the entire season. I felt so much heavier this time last year. Having lost in the first round the year before, to a lower seed. You're playing Rick Pitino and Iona in the first round with, obviously, coaches, one of the best coaches of his generation in the game. So this time last year, my nerves were shot. And, and we're down at halftime. And then that second half of that game to where we are now has been, it's been spectacular.
Well, that answer kind of cuts my next question by the knees, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there any pressure to the fact that you're 31-3, the number one seed? You've got people talking about it's UConn versus the field. Like, has there been any added pressure just because of the way you played this year?
Maybe in a sense of you have a great team, a team with when we're all about our identity, with what we do on offense, what we do on defense. We're elite in both categories. We're a tremendous rebounding team. We share the ball. We got NBA talent. We got like a culture that you could see in terms of the energy and the allowance of players not caring who's the hero on any given night. There's some pressure when you have a special group to make the deep run, but I think we do a really good job of just doing this show and a couple others this time of year and just turning out the noise and just getting ready to execute on Friday.
At what point for you, Dan, did you know this was going to be your path, that you would end up going to the absolute big time? Obviously, your dad's an absolute legend and kept it as being a high school legend. At what point for you was it like, I'm comfortable to go to becoming one of these D1 stalwarts?
Really, too. I mean, it's like, I think Allen Iverson dropped 39 on me. It's like when that happened, I knew it was like, all right, coaching for your... Or and you're not smart, so like you're not going to be so. All right, so coaching, and then really, I think when I was a high school coach at St. Benedict's, I was running my high school program. I think at the level that I watched my dad run his high school program at, which was as good or better than how the college programs are functioning. I was sending players to. So I just had a great deal of confidence as college coaches came in to recruit my players from St. Benedict's, and then my players started going into their programs, and then the feedback that I was getting was, that a lot of them, felt like they were in better hands with me in high school. And that gave me the confidence to, apply for the Wagner job and to make the career move to college.
So I'm watching the game the other day, and there's a shot of you, your dad's right there, and this is after you guys had won, and you're hugging your son. Do you ever take a step back and go, wow, this is really, really neat? This is like storybook stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I do. I mean, I don't stay there for a long period of time, because that's not how
that's
my
not
dad,
you.
Raised his... Yeah, I mean, that's not how we, it's not what we're modeling. Me and my brother are modeling, everything that we learned from my dad, as coaches and as competitors. And, you see, obviously, sometimes it brings out the worst in us because, I bring a lot of intensity, and sometimes it spills into, the fans in the stands or referees. But it's my fuel, and my players, rely on that. Just like, my dad's players relied on that, intensity that we would bring to, to the team. And my dad, to have him there, and to have him along these journeys here, I think You know, he sacrificed a lot. He's a community guy. He never chased the money. He was a servant leader, and he loved Jersey City, and he loved St. Anthony. So, you know, he never went for the bag as a coach. But I do think he looks at me and he looks at my brother as like extensions of himself and what his life would have looked like if he went and coached college.
Do you think the committee did the Big East wrong, which is sending three?
No, that was bad. That was a bad one. That was bad. I mean, I thought it was going to be five in the end. I didn't think we were going to get six in. But if you would have said to me, you're going to get four or five, I would have thought we were going to get five. I thought, you know, two of those three deserve to be in. You can make a case for Providence, Seton Hall, St. John's. You know, for me, you know, it was bizarre. You know, like some of these leagues that they've really figured out, you know, the metrics and how to do it, and their conferences that like didn't beat a big high major on a neutral or have a marquee like non-conference win with their league, and they end up with double the bids that we got. Or, you know, for me, if you're a bubble team in a big conference, and you're on the bubble and you lose to a team that ends up stealing a bid from that league, that team that was on the bubble should have been out. Like Seton Hall shouldn't have lost a bid to a team that was on the bubble that lost in their conference tournament and then, you know, stole the bid from
right.
Seton Hall. So
right.
It was just, it's wrong. But we have a marketing, you know, we don't, our league is not marketed. It's amazing with the coaches and the players we got that our league doesn't get anywhere near, you know, the marketing power that it needs, I guess.
Now, Kim Inglis, the Providence coach, said something really interesting, an offshoot of, like, not making it. And I wonder if this is going to come into the minds of other coaches, Dan. We're talking to Dan Hurley, the coach of UConn. He said, you know what? From now on in December when we're playing non-conference games, I'm not going to be a sportsman. I'm going to blow people out at 40, 50 points because that gets their attention. I mean, do you think that this might happen?
Yes, and you can see it. You know, you'll watch it. I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. I've seen it a lot in the non-conference. I've seen it sometimes in conference where coaches are, you know, consciously leaving the starters in longer. But any type of smart analytics, I know the ones that we use for our preparation, you know, they factor in garbage time. So, you know, with all the algorithms and all these nerds that are now kind of running things in sports, you know, somebody's got to come up with a way, you know, to factor in, you know, garbage time numbers into strength of records and all these things. And Kim is right. And Kim coached his butt off this year. And Providence deserved to be in the tournament. They beat Wisconsin. They beat Creighton two out of three times. It was a three-seed in this tournament. They beat Marquette, who was a two-seed in this tournament. And they got a non-conference win versus Wisconsin, who played in the Big Ten championship. You're going to tell me that that's not a problem.
All right, so NIL begins today, Dan. And then, you know, one of the reasons that Rick Pitino said he didn't take the NIT offering, you know, he's got to fill seven spots. You're getting ready to play Stetson. You're getting ready to try to defend the national title. I mean, are you guys also working today on NIL stuff and transfers and transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean, I just walked out of there. You know, I did my, you know, we did the heavy prep on Stetson all morning, and we got on the court, and, you know, three Big East games in 3 days. Through Saturday, we had to kind of go light, you know, today and yesterday, emotionally and physically spent, you know, from a couple of days in MSG. But, yeah, I mean, we just talked about roster, and I met with our GM / coach, Tom Moore, and talked to him about, you know, NIL and what that's going to look like and, you know, who do we feel like, you know, absolutely is going to be returning. And, you know, and then the weird thing is you're watching all these teams throughout the year and hearing like, hey, this guy's probably going here.
Wow.
So there's a lot of, I mean, it's crazy. It's bananas.
So do you get teams deciding not to play in the NIT for that reason?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to every coach, you know, their own. But I just think, you know, right now the portal being open – the first day of the week.
Crazy.
You
know, yeah. Crazy.
Where March Madness begins is absolute insanity. Like, who's in charge? right? Like, I mean, like, we need, you know, college basketball is such an awesome thing. You know, March Madness, like this, there's no event, you know, besides the Super Bowl, maybe the Olympics every 4 years that, like, captures the attention of the entire country, the brackets. And it's just something that's so big that makes, you know, billions of dollars or what have you. You know, we need somebody. We need commissioner. We need somebody, you know, that's running this thing and you know, just getting us organized, because it's an incredible product, but it's messy right now.
Dan, I got to tell you, I'm usually dispassionate. I'm usually objective on the show, but I don't even hide it. I root for you. I know you since you were 18.
Yeah.
I hope you win again, and I hope you do great, and I hope you enjoy the ride.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, Don, Peter, Mike, appreciate you guys, man. And you know, the one thing you don't got to worry about with us is, you know, we're going to attack it, man. We're going to attack it, and we're excited, and you know, we know the challenges, but you know, we're ready to make a run at trying to make some history here.
Very good.
Good luck, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. That's Danny Hurley.
He's good. Tell you what, man.
Good guess too.
He wins one more. He starts getting in rarefied air. You start getting to, like, mm-hmm. the point of, like, you could basically just book it. I would already say you can book it with him, just given his pedigree. This is a guy who will be Calhoun. He'll be there till he's 70. He could have a 20-year run there.
Or, I mean, they certainly take care of their coaches. Like, Calhoun never wanted to leave, and Ollie ended up getting let go. But there could be a big, big school that comes in and go, we'll give you whatever.
UCLA shows up and says, let's...
Yeah, $10 million a year or something like that.
It's been an unbelievable run, though. 2 years at Wagner, then he goes to Rhode Island, instantly turns around, and now he dominates at UConn.
He's pretty, pretty good. I wonder who the point guard is today.
Could be anybody.
I think it could be Peter when he didn't know what you were talking about and repeated it. That has
what about when? What about when you tried to repeat what I said because you didn't know what I said?
No, I knew what you said. I was just trying to amplify what you said. You didn't know what Don said.
You were disrespecting the show. All Michael was doing was disrespecting you.
Don, no disrespect to Mazda, though.
No, get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease a new 2024 Mazda CX-5 2.5S. Select all-wheel drive, just $269 a month. At Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R045-1173. MSRP $30,750. Ends 4/1/24.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good point, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Information is important. There's no getting around that. But I just don't want managers to give up the instincts that they have accrued over the number of years in the game. As far as I'm concerned, baseball, I know things aren't supposed to happen, but baseball's full of things that aren't supposed to happen that change the course of a team or a game. And the human element is still so important to me. And that's the only thing I object to, is if there's just too much attention paid to the numbers and you forget about the instincts that, in my opinion, that you should be using on a regular basis.
I'm uncomfortable.
So you have a problem that Anthony chose a Hall of Famer?
Well, because he took a knee, and then But in celebration of his Yankeedom, well, he gave it to Joe. Come on.
No, he doesn't.
Like, Joe's a great guy, but was that any kind of a point God?
Well, it was a good point. I don't know if a point God.
But, he not only took a knee, but after taking a knee, he then puckered up and kissed the rear end of the great Joe Torre. Which I understand.
You think Joe's sitting there in Tampa right now, like pumping his fist, going, "Yeah, I got point God on Monday."
He might. If he knew what it was. What? He would.
Did either of you guys have an opportunity to see the end of the Dallas-Denver game yesterday?
No,
I heard about it.
It was the Kyrie moment.
Unbelievable. I think it was like 2.6 seconds left.
We have the sound because it was a Ruco vehicle.
Do we have the sound in?
Maybe we should save it for, you know.
Are you going to go to E&M with
him? He had no idea what was going on. He might pivot, but he didn't have that in E&M, did you?
No, this people are talking about this game. The left-handed winner from Kyrie.
The Ryan Ruco call.
I was told it was a fantastic call. I haven't heard the call yet.
He's going to replace Breen. And there's going to be...
Not for a long time.
Not for a very long time, hopefully. But at some point, maybe 35 years from now, whoever's doing this show, they're going to talk about Ruco the way they talk about Mike.
Wow.
Ruco's
going to
end up in the hall.
Now, who do you think he takes over for first?
And he's killing it.
Me or Breen? Breen and I are both the same age. He's lined up to do both of them.
What? So who goes first?
Who do you think who's going to go first?
I'm going to say you. Because Breen's cut, he'll cut back. He'll still do games. I mean, at what point are they? You're not going to do 135 games. Are you going to be allowed to cut back Yankee games?
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
All right. Then it would be Mike. Well, Howie's cut it back to 100.
Right. I can do 100 easy in my sleep.
We will have the call from Ruco during ENN. It's an incredible shot by Kyrie, by the way.
Better call. The call's better than...
Have you seen the shot?
But can I just blindly support my guy?
Can I just say this? I haven't heard the call. I've only seen the shot.
It's not better than the shot.
The call can't... It can't be. Because a call, no matter... We all know. We're the same people who say there's no amount of money you could pay someone to call a football game that would affect us.
Right.
It's that kind of shot. No matter what the call is.
Yeah, because I don't know these people personally like I know Ryan.
You know Kyrie Irving pretty well. You're familiar with his work.
It's a running left-handed jump hooker from like 19 feet. I've never seen a shot quite like it.
And it was against Jokic.
You should watch it. You should watch it.
I think we're in the middle of Ramadan, so he didn't even eat.
No, he's starving.
Yeah,
he's chucking up left-handed runners.
Yeah, and Ryan probably was on a steady diet of kale before that.
It's a great point. Ryan lives that life. He's never.
You know what's amazing too? He was in Dallas for that call, and today he was calling the Yankee game.
No,
really?
Yeah. See, that's you wouldn't do that.
What do you mean? I wouldn't do that.
I don't think you'd do it
right now.
Right now, he wouldn't do it.
Well, Ryan is like...
He's in his prime.
36.
Well, that's what I said. You wouldn't
do
it.
That's the opposite of 63.
But yeah, I'm just saying, you wouldn't do
it. I would do it
so
now.
So why'd you take exception? I said you wouldn't do it. You would say, you know what?
I'm defending game. Michael. Bad guy call from Don here. Michael, and he's done that a million times.
But I said at 62, where he is in his career.
He'll be 63 next Saturday.
Here, Don, here's the play. So
it's always the TV with the friggin' light in the way.
So, what can you do?
You know what? I'm going to protest.
Can you see
it? I'm not even going to look. No, I won't even see it.
Well,
I don't even want to see it because they don't respect me.
Can you?
No, so you're telling me exhibition baseball game
there
in
it is.
Florida.
There's
it's on the other TV. Can you see it on the other TV? Is that okay?
All right, let's see.
We're waiting for the play to start so Don can see the shot.
I don't know why Yes is freezing.
There we go.
Because they care about me.
Tell me it could be better than that.
Ryan's better.
You haven't even heard the call.
I heard the call.
Phony? No, I heard the call.
What if he messed up?
I heard the call in the morning show. That's how I knew who he had it.
What if he calls him Kevin Irving? You don't even know.
I've heard the call. What I'm saying is at 63 years old.
It doesn't matter.
He is scheduled to do a nationally televised basketball game, and he's got an exhibition Yankee game in Tampa from Dallas.
No, but he didn't do it in Tampa.
Oh, well, it's New York. It's still flying to Stanford.
Right.
You know that flight from Dallas home, Michael. I know you.
Yeah, but he would
have said, I'm good on the Yankee game. I'm focusing.
No, but what if my contract said I had to do the game?
Contract, Smonka. The contract doesn't matter in exhibition.
Yeah,
I know your contract. I'm intimate with it.
But It's still a bad guy call because it's an unfair call.
No, I'm respecting him and saying at this stage of his career.
Well, he shouldn't do it.
But it's apples
to wrenches.
I'm doing the Yankees Dodgers on Friday night.
You kidding me?
That night after the game, I'm flying to London and then doing a game in London on Sunday.
And what do all those games have in common? regular season.
What does that mean?
So you're not doing exhibition. Stop yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only reason I did the Pittsburgh thing this weekend was because you would have done it, and you have done it.
You know what? I just want to remember one thing, Michael, in the future.
What's that?
I had your back.
But I'm complimenting him. I'm saying he's above such things.
I know, but it's still your...
You just gave Ryan...
You tried to make it sound like Ryan would do something.
From now, people will be talking about Ryan like we're talking about Breen. So then you're complimenting me. What you're doing is just oiling up Ryan.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, you'll hear, and you'll agree with me. The call's better.
This portion of the Michael King Show.
You're not going to do it, but you're going to feel bad.
On 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Visit Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Listen, I want all the kudos for Ryan. I taught him everything he knows, so.
You are going to agree with me that the call's better than the shot.
Well, you know what? Peter's going to say hello to Don, hello to Mike. He's going to run out of time before you even hear it. I know how he rolls. He's going to say, you know what movie came out 3 years ago today?
You will hear it. You know what? That's what I get for it. You know what, Don? I don't know why I bother defending him. He buried me within 30 seconds of me supporting him. Why do I bother? It's so sad. I'm abused. It's an abusive relationship.
It really is.
It's both of us.
At some point, you got to look in the mirror.
I know.
Hey, Experience the all-new Genesis of White Plains, where their guests are everything. Take advantage of incredible special lease and finance offers on their full Genesis lineup of sedans and SUVs in both gas and EV models. They also have a full selection of excellent pre-owned Genesis vehicles. Visit genesisofwhiteplains.com or their showroom, which is about to be upgraded. Genesis of White Plains, located in the heart of Westchester County at 300 Central Avenue, the newest member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET. Schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.